ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
सामचिता प्रसन्था विमान्यवसुदवसादवोजे. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equiposed. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional life. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas.
Yevame ishe krita sohridartha janeshu deham bharavartikeshu griheshu jayatma jaratmit Rati Matsu Napriti Jukta Yavadaratas Chaloke.
Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders, nor are they attached to wives, children, friends, or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Whether he is an impersonalist or a devotee, one who is actually interested in advancing spiritually should not mingle with those who are simply interested in maintaining the body by means of the so-called advancement of civilization. Those who are interested in spiritual life should not be attached to homely comforts in the company of wife, children, friends, and so forth. Even if one is a grihastha, he has to earn his livelihood. He should be satisfied by collecting only enough money to maintain body and soul together. One should not have more than that, nor less than that. As indicated herein, a householder should endeavor to earn money for the execution of bhakti yoga, shravanam kirtanam vishnu, smaranam padasevanam, archanam bandhanam dasyam, sakyam atmanivedanam. A householder should lead such a life that he gets full opportunity to hear and chant. He should worship the deity at home, observe festivals, invite friends in, and give them prasad. A householder should earn money for this purpose, not for sense gratification. Translation: those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders, nor are they attached to wives, children, friends, or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep body and soul together. We are reading this morning from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the beautiful teachings of Lord Rishabhdev to his 100 sons. Lord Rishabhdev is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. And therefore what he speaks is of absolute authority, and it is meant for the welfare of all living beings. You see, today there are so many counselors, there are so many philosophers, there are so many psychologists. Everyone has their opinion. Everyone has their approach of how to create a peaceful situation within our own minds and within society. But what we are reading today is not just another opinion. It is the supreme absolute word of God. When Krishna speaks, dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat paranitam, religion is created by his words. And from this fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, Lord Rishabhdev, he is playing the part in this incarnation of a perfect father, a perfect king, and a perfect devotee. He is the son of Maharaj Nabi. He ruled the citizens for a long, long period of time, very perfectly according to religious principles. You see, it is the duty of a king to guide all the kingdom back to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. If a king is not doing that, according to the Shastra, he is sinful. Guru na sasyat, swajadi na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. The Supreme Lord Rishabhdev says in this chapter that one has no right to be a guru, to be a parent, a mother or a father, to be a king or a teacher, unless one can show the way to his dependent by which he never has to take birth in this material world again. To take a responsibility without assuming that responsibility, to take the position without the service, is sinful. In every varna, in every ashram, there is a particular position. There are particular facilities and conveniences that one gains from that position. But there is also a grave responsibility that is required in that position. Unfortunately today, people want the conveniences of the position, but they are not willing to accept the responsibilities. It is the responsibility of a guru, of a king, of a parent, or of a teacher, that if you have any dependent, you must live your life in such a way that they never have to take birth again in this material world. And if you do not do that, you are sinful. You are committing a great offense. Although you may consider yourself very pious, I do not hurt anybody. This is the modern philosophy. I do my service, I do my work, I maintain my family, and I do not hurt anybody. Therefore, I'm a good man. This is your opinion. But this is not God's opinion. And ultimately, the laws of nature that you are under are not your laws of nature. They are God's laws of nature. Being not hurting anybody is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is by your example, by your words, to be helping everyone who is influenced by you to come closer to God. That is your responsibility. Whether you are a grihastha, or a vanaprastha, or a brahmachari, or a sannyasi. Whether you are a brahman, a kshatriya, a vaishya, or a sudra. Whatever sphere of influence we have over others, we must help them become Krishna conscious. And here, it is explained by Lord Rishabhdev that you cannot help another become Krishna conscious unless you yourself strive very diligently to revive your own Krishna consciousness. Now, Rishabhdev himself, he was a noble king, and he organized his entire kingdom with one thing in mind always: to bring people closer to the lotus feet of Sri Hari. That's all. And because he did like that, there was no poverty, there was no disease, because everyone was living in harmony with the laws of nature and the laws of God. The problems in this world are all petty problems. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give this example, that the problems in this world that everyone are trying to deal with, they are all 5 paise, 2 rupee, 3 rupee problems. And everyone's working so hard to solve them. But if you have 100 crores of rupees, do you have any 2 rupee or 3 rupee problems? Krishna is that 1 crore of rupees. When you have Krishna, you have no problems. Everything is solved. The only problem is we do not have Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur often said, the only problem is a lack of Krishna consciousness. Rishabhdev, after revealing to the world the most prosperous, most joyful possible community, because everything was centered in love and devotion to Krishna, and he was sacrificing his life for Krishna's service to help others. He also wanted to show the example that you should not be attached to any of these things either. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam explaining that even when you're using everything in Krishna's service, you should never be attached to those things either. And you should never take what you gain through your service to Krishna and use it for your own sense gratification. We should simply be attached to Krishna's service, whatever way he wants us to serve. In this consciousness, there's no question of gaining or losing. You have everything. You have Krishna. So Rishabhdev, when it came the time, his eldest son, Bharat, and his other 99 children, when they were all grown up, he decided, now I should go into the forest and become a vanaprastha, just to show the example to everyone. And he instructed his sons how to rule the kingdom. And this is his instructions. Now, what do we find is his instructions? Is he telling them how the taxation should be performed every day? How the military should be organized every day? All of his instructions to his sons are how to become Krishna conscious, knowing that if they do that, everything else will automatically be revealed by Krishna. And here he is explaining, knowing that all of his, many of his sons, not all, but many of them will be grihasthas, he's explaining specifically the duty of grihastha and the duty of everyone who is in this ashram for all time to come. He says that those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, these things can never be related to Krishna. They are related to death. We want to be related to life. Krishna is life. Maya is death. Of course, these are the grossest, most terribly atrocious forms of sinful activity, where an enormous amount of sinful reaction will come into our lives. But even on a subtle level, a devotee is always conscious that whatever he does has a relationship to Krishna, favorably, positively. People ask, what is wrong with watching the television? What is wrong with it? Is it related to Krishna? Is the subject matter Krishna? Is the subject matter going to help you in your service to Krishna, in your meditation on Krishna? If it isn't, it's no relationship. It is simply a disturbance. It is simply a diversion. A real grihastha, everything he does is related to Krishna. And everyone he mingles with in his social life are those persons who will help him to increase his Krishna consciousness. Mahatsevam dwaram ahura vimoktes tamo dwaram yoshita shangi shangam. This was the verse before. Rishabhdev says that by serving the great souls, the doors to liberation are opened wide. But by mingling with people who are too much attached to sense enjoyment, the doors to modvaram, to ignorance, the doors to a hellish existence are opened wide. And Rishabhdev goes on and he explains that such householders, they will never associate with people who are simply pounds, shillings, pence for their own sense enjoyment. They will always be seeking out the association of sadhus. They will always be anxious to render service to such sadhus. And by such association, they are not attached to their homes. They are not attached to their wives, children, friends, or wealth. Now, how is this possible? How to live with wife, children, friends, and not be attached? Is it possible? What it means is not to be attached according to your own conceptions. Not to be attached to associating with these facilities for your sense gratification. But we should be attached to our Krishna conscious duties that we have to them. Then actual love grows between us. People think, if a householder is not attached to his wives, children, or friends, then he's hard-hearted. There's no love. And bhakti means to love. factually, if he is attached to them on the material platform, there's no question of love ever coming between them. It is simply mutual exploitation and kama, or lust, in grosser, subtle manifestations. That's all. But when we become attached to the service that Krishna has given us in those relationships, and we agree on that principle of keeping Krishna in the center, then actual love, love of God and love for each other, real love, takes place. This philosophy does not make you hard-hearted. Material attachment makes you hard-hearted. Spiritual responsibility makes your heart very soft, very pure, full of love. It is explained here, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. They understand what their duties are for. In grihastha life, most of the day, the man is simply working for money. Huh? Rishabhdev explains, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yet indriya pritya apranoti. The people in this world, they are so mad after money. They are so mad after sense gratification. They're intoxicated in illusion by this madness. Everyone is thinking, I need more and more and more. In Bombay, we see people are not content with a simple job, making what he needs and associating with saintly persons. People, they want one job, two jobs, three jobs, four jobs, five jobs, six jobs, whatever they can get, more and more money. And they don't have time for anything but making money. This is called mudha. Namam duskriti nor mudha. Working like an ass. For what? For sense gratification. What is he utilizing that money for? Some people think work is worship. It could be or it could not be. It depends on what you do with your money. If we're simply working and saving, there's so many insects that the ants, they store their food in their hive. Bees also, they store their honey in their hives. And squirrels, we see, they fill their mouth with all things and store them in a secret little hole in a tree. What is the difference between that and investing your money in stocks or in the bank? There's no difference. It's just animal nature. Just making an investment knowing that it's secure and it's going to be there. But nothing is secure. In this world, why are we doing it? People say, well, I'm working very hard, but I'm not using my money for sinful activities, so therefore work is worship. But if you're not using your money for Krishna's service, it's sinful. It doesn't matter what else you do with it. It belongs to Him. What right do you have storing it in a tree? Now they're big, sophisticated trees. The State Bank of India, Standard Chartered Bank of India. In America, we have the Chase Manhattan tree. They're all trees. That's all. They're actually perverted reflections of trees, because trees are natural. Trees don't suffer when there's a depression. But banks, they're finished when there's a depression. You're better off putting your money in a tree. So this is human civilization. Just a bunch of squirrels running around, putting as many nuts in their mouth and then going to some tree and stashing it, thinking it'll be here tomorrow. And they're thinking, I'm a very good man, work is worship, I'm holy, I'm a sadhu. These sadhus in Saffron, like Maharaj here, they're useless. They're not storing anything in any trees, they're not doing anything. This is the mentality. This is squirrel life. Of course, Rishabhdev is I'm a little more sympathetic toward you than Rishabhdev. I'm comparing you to squirrels. But in the first verse of this chapter, he says, Nayam deho deha bhajamna loke kastan kamaniyar hadi vidbujam te. He says, you are dogs and hogs that eat stool. Because sense gratification, according to Rishabhdev, is nothing but stool. We have used the example Prabhupada has given us. There's wet stool, dry stool. Hogs and dogs, they love wet stool. They do not like dry stool. It has no ras. It has no juice. Succulent, yes. So, for us, stool is stool. Sense gratification, things that are very nice, we think, oh, this is very nice. And things that are against our sense gratification, we want to avoid it as far as possible. But actually, what is the difference? According to Rishabhdev, all sense gratification is nothing but stool, meant for dogs and hogs and people who are of that consciousness. Therefore, it is explained here by Rishabhdev that people, they perform their duties, but they understand that their duties are always related to Krishna. And he explains in this verse, now you may say, listen, this sannyasi, he's preaching to me all about renunciation. I'm not preaching. Rishabhdev is preaching. He happens to be a grihastha, like you. But he happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not like you. Therefore, you must obey him. I must obey him also. We all must obey him. Otherwise, our lives are wasted. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. They are not interested in having elaborate arrangements in their homes. They're not interested in having elaborate savings. They're interested in living a simple life, and whatever is beyond the simple necessities of life should be utilized, as Prabhupada explained, for the service of Krishna. He says, a householder should endeavor to earn money for the execution of bhakti yoga. Sravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. A householder should lead such a life that he gets full opportunity to hear and chant. Are you doing like that? Is anyone doing like that? Full opportunity to hear and chant. That is the first priority of our life. And we must mold our whole schedule and our whole profession around that principle, creating full opportunity to hear and chant. Today in Kali Yuga, people are so poor-hearted, so cripple-minded, that they have their job, they have their occupation, and they try to organize their hearing and chanting around that. If you put Krishna second, Krishna puts you second. If you put Krishna first and make your priorities around him, he will put you first. This is civilized life. people think, well, how will I live under this principle? It's easy for brahmacharis to talk like this, but I have responsibilities. You have to have faith. If you do not have faith in God, what is the use of our spirituality? If we follow these principles of Grihastha Ashram according to Krishna's instruction, we have faith. Krishna says in Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariyupashyate tesha nitya vayuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. For my devotee who surrenders to my words, I protect what he has and I carry what he lacks. Now, do we have faith in the word of God? Or do we have faith in our own concocted ideas? That is the bottom line. And that is where we are tested. Do we have faith in Krishna's words? Because without a leap of faith, our spirituality remains superficial. It remains external. The internalization of our Krishna consciousness really manifests when we are willing to take these leaps of faith, when we are willing to trust in the word of Guru and trust in the word of Krishna and act accordingly and not try to keep some just in case Krishna is not right, I want to be covered. Just in case my guru has misunderstood, I want to be protected. Just in case the Srimad Bhagavatam is outdated, I want to make sure everything is in order. After all, it was Rishabdev lived millions of years ago. Things aren't the same. Maybe in those days you could be like that. But now, it's a dog-and-eat-dog world. These instructions are eternal. They are ever fresh. It has nothing to do with the condition of the world. It has everything to do with the condition of the mercy of God. Krishna's mercy is never outdated. We must have this faith. And how do we develop this faith? If we do not have this faith, we cannot act on this faith. Adosha dhata tha sadhu sangotha bhajana kriya. One develops faith by associating with people who have faith and by hearing from them. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that a householder should endeavor to earn money for execution of Krishna consciousness. A householder should lead such a life that he gets full opportunity to hear and chant. Because through this process of hearing and chanting, faith awakens in our heart. And then Prabhupada gives a very simple formula that anybody could follow. He should worship the deity at home. Make your home Krishna's home, not your home. Sometimes people say, why the deity? Krishna's everywhere. Sometimes when we put a deity in our home, people criticize, even deity in the temple. I don't need to go to see the deity of Krishna. Krishna's everywhere. Yes, that is true. Krishna's everywhere. But the fact is, do you see him everywhere? Anybody who uses this philosophy, Krishna's everywhere, he's everywhere except my house, because it's my house, right? He's everywhere in your temple. And he's everywhere in all you devotees' houses, everywhere. He's everywhere, but not mine. This is my house, and this is my car, and this is my wife, and I'll do what I want. This is the mentality. If you're actually seeing Krishna, then you're utilizing everything there for Krishna. In other words, we speak, we act, we purchase things. All of these things should be utilized as an expression of this recognition. To recognize that Krishna is the proprietor of my home Krishna gives us the formula. You install a deity of Krishna in your home. You give him the most prominent, nicest place in the house. Not sometimes I see. Krishna's in a closet. You're living in a nice, spacious room with a nice bed, and he's in a closet. And every now and then you dust him off and put a light on him and say, eat. Eat what I like. Krishna should have nicest part of your house. Actually, the reason most people keep him in his closet is because when relatives, friends come, you don't want them to know that you're worshiping Krishna. Because that's fanatical. So you hide him. Krishna's like a refugee in your house. What? He's like an escaped refugee that you're hiding. Krishna should be the most prominent place. If you accept that it's Krishna's house, when your friends and relatives come, you should say, the first thing, come, let me introduce you to my master. Let me introduce you to the proprietor of my home. What are you talking about? You bow. They see you bow down before Krishna. That's preaching. That whatever food you cook, it is offered to Krishna. That is devotional service. And the money you earn, while you're earning it, if you're using it for this purpose, it is also devotional service. He should worship the deity at home, observe festivals, invite friends, and give them prasad. A householder should earn money for this purpose, not for sense gratification. This will bring happiness. This will bring joy. Can you imagine how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission would be expanding here in Bombay, in Pune, if each grihastha were to follow this principle? Inviting friends to your home, observing festivals, giving prasad, having kirtan, teaching, inviting sadhus to come to assist in this way. Assisting those persons who are dedicating their lives for the upliftment of humanity by helping them in any way you possibly can. This is the real function of money, of wealth. This is human behavior. This is Vaikuntha consciousness. Otherwise, we become squirrels, simply storing in trees. It's like our Devamrita. He used to work in a tree. Chartered Bank of India used to work in a tree. Vrindavan Maharaj, can you imagine? The Maharashtrian State Bank, he used to work in a tree. He was like a squirrel teller, just storing all the... How Krishna saved them. Now they are simply distributing. Now they are desire trees, huh? Vansha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyai vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Now they are desire trees, fulfilling everyone's desires. Before they were, what, oak trees. Just storing, hard labor. Is there any questions? Yes?
As it has been mentioned by Rishabhdev Maharaj that a householder should maintain the minimum necessities of life. Means he has to earn the money that is required, not more than that. Now I think it is the I observe it that almost all the persons over here, means all those business people or business people, this basic necessity whatever that has been mentioned over here, it doesn't require so much hard working. 2-3 years if you work it, it's more than sufficient enough to maintain our basic necessities. Now, I don't know I am right or wrong, but this is my own observation says that it is just 2-3 years that is required just to maintain that much amount and we can just go for whole life. Now, what all the other devotees used to argue it is such a way that we are earning more just to satisfy, just to do some service for Krishna.
Mm.
And that's why we are earning it. That is the mental conception of all the other devotees.
Mm.
On the other hand, they are earning more and they are increasing the sense gratification.
Mm.
And only to suppress that sense gratification, they used to say that we are doing the service to Krishna. Now in that circumstances, what is the actual thing? Should we go out or should we just do 2-3 years? 2-3 years is more than sufficient. If you only wanted to know the basic necessities, I think almost all the businessmen who are over here, they will be convinced with it. It doesn't require more than that.
I am not going to argue with that philosophy. I will support you. Srila Rupa Goswami set the example that the standard of a householder should be that the first 50% should go to giving for the propagation of Krishna consciousness to alleviate the suffering of humanity. 25% should go to maintaining family and 25% for saving for an emergency situation. If a grihastha could do that, he would be perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness. As well as following the vows of chanting the holy name every day and following the regulative principles. But what you are saying is very vital and very important. Whether what you're saying is literally true for everyone or not, that everyone has to analyze in their own hearts. But the principle of how I could do more and more and more for Krishna and less and less and less for my own selfish purposes, that principle should always be in the forefront of our mind. And how to create practical means, practical methods, as you are saying, by which I could do more and more to utilize my human form of life for its highest purpose. Is there any other questions?
You mentioned that investing in banks and stock exchanges is animal tendency. In this line of the same logic, practically all our devotees invest in stock exchanges.
Huh?
They couldn't hear the question, Maharaj.
Not hold the question.
Mike, Maharaj said in the lecture that storing in banks and in stock exchange business is animal tendency, like squirrels. And it is a fact that most of our devotees are also doing the same. So is that justified?
Ye yathamam prapadyante thamstutaiva bhajamyaham. As you approach Krishna, he rewards you accordingly. Krishna doesn't see how much you give him, he sees how much you hold back for yourself. So Krishna is in your heart. sarvasya chaham ridishane vishro. He knows your inner motives and desires. What is your motive for keeping that money there? That Krishna knows. If you're holding back from him, he will hold back from you. If you're honestly and sincerely with a higher purpose, thinking of devotional service, of how you could do better service through this process, and it's authorized, then that could also be devotional service. It's not the act so much as the mentality. Why are you doing it? Do you have a spiritual purpose behind it? Is it related to Krishna? Or is it simply for the animal purposes of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? Yes?
I want to make it very clear to myself and myself. Is putting money in the soil a form of gambling and speculation or not?
I really do not...
I just asked Maharaj, I want to know very clearly, categorically, whether putting money in stock exchange is a form of gambling and speculation which is against the principles of Krishna consciousness.
I don't know anything about the stock exchange. I can only give you the philosophical principles you have to analyze. Everything you have belongs to Krishna. It's Krishna's money. Gambling means risking, putting Krishna's property in a position of risk. You have no right to do that. Krishna's property should be utilized for Krishna's service. Gambling means you want to get a lot fast, but you're risking losing it all. That's whimsical. And because it's whimsical, it's considered sinful. It's considered sinful.
We are a little calibration required. You see, merely investing in stock exchanges can never be called gambling. Just like Nachi has put up a factory, and I want to become a shareholder of his factory, he's a partner of his company. And I know Nachi is a wonderful person, whatever factory he's going to put up. You see, and I have some money. If I'm a fool, I will keep the money. I became partner with Nachi by investing my money. So this can never be called gambling.
Anyways, I didn't say the stock market was gambling or not gambling. I'm just telling you what gambling is. I don't know anything about stock markets. I don't even know, all I know, the only thing I know about stock markets is that Ashok Parekh is a stockbroker. And that's the only thing I ever learned about stocks in my entire life. So I'm not going to say whether it's gambling or not gambling. I'm just telling you what gambling is. Gambling means to take the property of God and put it in a risky situation where you could lose it all, with the passionate idea that I may get a lot. Safe, sober investments is not gambling. Yes.
If you're investing in the stock exchange, then it's not gambling, but if you're speculating, then it's gambling.
That's correct.
Maharaj did not say that if you invest it, then
that's correct.
See, he lived in a tree for a long time. He knows the insides and outsides of the tree.
This gives us a lot of time to
for the spiritual activity. By this, we can maintain and get the amount easily, and lot of working like ass is reduced. Working for an hour or two is sufficient if we are putting money by being proper stocks in this.
Then that is Krishna consciousness. It is a question of our motive. It's a question of how we're relating it practically to Krishna consciousness. Any other? Yes?
If we use 50% of our income in buying the rich paraphernalia for Krishna's service and all, isn't that another material world in spiritual life? Krishna doesn't want all silver things or all golden things. It is the bhakti which Krishna is interested in. So suppose I use 50% of my income buying the rich paraphernalia instead of giving it to poor or some orphanage. Isn't it another material world in spiritual life?
That's what all people say.
That's what all karmis especially they say. Ki why Krishna doesn't need the silver thali and silver diyas and golden this thing and marble temple and all. But you can always use it for orphanage or spreading some prasadam to hundreds of people or distribution of food. So we are many times confused. So what is the correct thing?
I will let Nityodita Maharaj answer, since he's personally involved in building a multi-million dollar temple. You know, I mean, we can hardly build a few rooms in Rishikesh, so I don't have so much realization. But Nityodita Maharaj was one of the key central personalities to build Prabhupada's palace, and now he's head of construction for the most beautiful, expensive temple in the entire world. So why don't you use this money to feed the poor? Not only is he building the temple, but he's been the number one person out collecting the money. So he has very deep internal realizations in this regard.
Krishna explains to Arjuna that one who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee, but one who's the devotee of my devotee. So I don't know too much about all these things, but I know that whatever we do for Krishna should be done under authority. If you have a certain amount of money and there's a choice to buy gold plates for Krishna or to distribute prasadam or distribute books, it's really not up to you to decide. It's up to your spiritual director, your spiritual authority. Then there's no confusion. There's no question. If you're doing everything under the guidance of a pure devotee, then everything's clear. Why make it complicated? We have a system. We approach authority. And then we know Krishna's pleased. And we don't have to worry about what the rest of the world says. We don't have to worry about what the media says. We're pleasing Krishna by pleasing Krishna's devotee. Hare Krishna.
If you water the root of the tree, the whole tree is nourished. If you do not serve the root of the tree properly, then the whole tree will die. Krishna is the root. But we cannot serve Krishna directly. We must serve through the instruction of the great souls. This is what Maharaj is saying. We must learn how to satisfy Krishna by hearing from the spiritual master and from the advanced Vaishnavas. And if we satisfy Krishna, we have nothing to worry.
One point that's made in this verse is, what's the question?
One point that's made in this verse is always, is really the one of the key points of controversy, is this phrase, keeping body and soul together. Somebody might say, oh, I have a big body and a big soul, so I need more than somebody else. I mean, isn't it? It's personal realization and personal opinion that particular aspect of how much somebody needs. Prabhupada once said that if you take everything away from a rich man, try to make him live like a sannyasi, he will die. So how to decide what is keeping the body and soul together? How is each person supposed to understand that phrase?
Let us take two examples of Nitya Siddha Paramhamsa, intimate associates of the Lord. First we'll take Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was one of the most confidential personal servants of the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He so much was concerned with utilizing all of his energy for Krishna that he wanted to minimize his bodily functions as far as possible. At one point, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was observing, he was a wealthy man's son. His father and uncle were worth billions and billions of rupees. They were the wealthiest people in all of Bengal. And they were pious. They were Vaishnavas. They were devotees. They were supporting practically all the activities of the devotees in the entire state. They lived in Saptagram. They were big, big landowners. And they had such influence. But Raghunath was not concerned with all of that. He left it all. He was the only son. They were depending everything on him. But he was so much anxious to personally serve the Lord for the betterment of all humanity. He left it all. And they were begging, praying, everything to get him back, but he would not come back. They were sending him money. He was using it to feed all the Vaishnavas. But then he stopped taking that. Then he was begging at the Shingadwara gate. But then he felt too fruitive. He was looking at people, thinking that when people go by, rather than thinking of what I can do for them, I'm thinking was what are they going to give to me. So he stopped begging. So eventually, once a day, what he would do is the prasadam of Jagannath that was not sold throughout the entire day, they would throw it for the cows to eat. Just on a big pile. To this day, that place is still at the Jagannath temple where they just throw the old prasad, and there's always cows walking around on this pile eating rice. And at the end of the day, after the cows ate everything, the rotten parts that the cows didn't like and spit out, Raghunath would take that and eat it. And that's all his tongue would touch throughout the day, was rotten rice rejected from the mouth of cows, spit out. But to him, even that was too much sense gratification. He came to the point where every two or three days he would take a tiny little palmful of buttermilk. And while he would be taking it, he would be sincerely condemning himself, thinking, just see what a useless person I am. Wasting all this precious time and energy simply for my sense gratification when I should be serving Krishna. And his body was emaciated
because he was only taking a little buttermilk every 2-3 days, 1 poundful. That's Raghunath Das Goswami. He was keeping his body and soul together with that. Now let's talk about another Nitya Siddha Paramhamsa, who's no less, Bhima. Could anyone say Raghunath is a better devotee than Bhima? They are both on the highest platform. Bhima, you know the story. He used to eat a lot. If you try to imitate Raghunath Das Goswami, you will die. And if you try to imitate Bhima, you will die. That in Eka Chakra, Lord Nityananda's birthplace, before the advent of Lord Nityananda, there was a great demon of the name Bakasura. Kunti, the Pandavas, they were all staying together in the house of one family. And this Bakasura was very, very bad demon. He was just whimsically coming in. He was a Rakshasa. He would just come into the town and eat people. Just start devouring people. So the leaders of the town made an agreement that once, I think every fortnight, we will bring you an offering of a whole gigantic wagon full of food, nice food, rich foods, and you can eat the wagon plus the driver. Just leave us alone. All right. So they were taking different people from different houses every day. So the home that Kunti was in with her 5 sons. The people of that house, they were crying because they had to send their son to be eaten by Bakasura. So Kunti felt very much sympathetic. She said, "You only have 1 son, but I have 5 sons. Let me send mine. If he eats my son, I still have 4 more. But he will not eat my son." So he sent Bhima. Now Bhima, because it is explained, the whole time that they were in exile, Bhima would go out and he would be in charge of begging food. And all the other Pandavas, they used to also beg, but he was the best. Because when you're motivated, you get the most. Like Sankirtan, the more your motivation, the more you collect. It's not a question of physical skills, it's a question of your enthusiasm. So he was very enthusiastic. So what they would do is, when they'd all come back and have all their food together, all the Pandavas, there was the 5 Pandavas and Kunti, they would divide it all in half. And Bhima would eat the first half, and the other 5 would eat the other half. And usually, he was so much hungry that they would give them part of theirs. So this is how he was living. He was living for years without having ever been satisfied as far as keeping body and soul together. So what happened is, when Bhima heard that there was going to be a whole big wagon load of prasad being sent to Bakasura, he said, "Kunti Devi, I'll take it, no problem." So as he was driving that big, giant cart, mountain of prasad, as he was driving it up, he was just eating and eating and eating and eating. By the time he got to Bakasura's place, practically everything was done. He was still eating. He was so happy. Bakasura comes. "What is this? You're eating my offering. You deserve to die." And he attacked Bhima. With Bhima, it is explained in Mahabharata, he just held the demon off with 1 hand because he wasn't finished. He just held him off and continued eating, until every last morsel was consumed.
Then he washed his hands and washed out his mouth, and he said, all right, now this is a secondary priority, killing you. Like that. Now, if you could kill Bakasura, you can also eat what's on his wagon. But if you cannot kill Bakasura, then you can only eat what you need. One name of Bhima is Brikodar. Brikodar means one whose belly is like a wolf. It means wolf belly, literally. And Srila Prabhupada said, if you can perform Herculean tasks like Bhima, then you should eat like Bhima. He was honestly taking what he needed to keep body and soul together. And Raghunath Das Goswami was honestly taking what he needed to keep body and soul together. So what does it need to keep body and soul together? It means that according to the necessity of how we could best serve. If we eat too much, we become tired, we become sickly. We should eat simple foods, and we should eat what we need to have maximum strength for devotional service. Krishna says in Gita, this process is not for one who eats too much or eats too little. If you eat too little, you will be weak. If you eat too much, you will be sickly, you will be weak, you will fall asleep. So we eat what we need. Body and soul together, which means how can I best serve you, Krishna? By serving who?
Different people, because Krishna is in the heart of every living entity.
Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna in them. If you are conscious of Krishna in them and you are serving them accordingly, yes, that is devotional service. But without the guidance of one who is conscious of Krishna within them, which means the spiritual master, it is Krishna is unapproachable in the hearts of others. He's unapproachable in our own heart. If we cannot perceive him in our own heart, how can we see him in another's heart? Therefore, that same Krishna who's within your heart appears externally through the scripture and through the sadhus. They are the external manifestation of Krishna within the heart, and they are giving you direction how to serve him best.
One man asked me that why only rich people are there in Krishna consciousness.
Nityodita Maharaj is he's so hungry he's eating Q-tips. Cotton swabs. What? Would you like to answer that question, Swami?
It's not true at all. You want to go to Pakistan and preach? You'll see the devotees there are probably the poorest devotees you'll ever find, but they're some of the most blissful people on the planet. When I go there, the most ecstatic programs ever, anywhere. You go to Africa, see the devotees there.
Go to New Vrindavan.
Go ahead.
They don't have anything there. All they have is Krishna. What that person is saying is true.
In that sense,
it's true. Right? Whoever has Krishna is the wealthiest of all people. Whoever does not have Krishna is in poverty. Whether they're Rockefeller or anybody else.
they're poverty stricken. But from the material point of view, Krishna consciousness is for everyone. These boys from Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage, are they rich? Are they wealthy? Yes, because they have Krishna. Yes?
First is connected with the question which you see, body and soul, because the another question was asked. Because usually, now there's the practical side of the question I'm asking, that our, my friends, good friends, and my God brother say, well, we must keep body and soul together, because, you know, we have all the fly mentality, all the time we want to find out which suits us in our, whatever Prabhupada has taught us, and which suits in our situation. Just like one advocate or doctor, you know, he started observing some austerity at the time, and Prabhupada has mentioned about that, and within 1 year time he died. So, we want to do certain things in such a way, well, we should not take much austerity, otherwise, you know, what happened to that advocate? He died within 1 hour because of austerity. So we will go on this speed, like this, what, like 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, same speed, because we should not take more than that, otherwise we may die. So this is first question.
You will die whatever you do. Huh? Unless we're willing to die for Krishna, we cannot live for Krishna. That advocate that you're talking about was not Krishna conscious. That's why he died. Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they had a lot more than him, and they gave it all up in a day. And they lived. Unless we're willing to die for Krishna, we cannot live for Krishna. So we have to stop making excuses and justifications of why not to surrender. We should utilize that same intellectual capacity to think of excuses and justifications why I should surrender more. The time has been expired.
Okay.
What time is it now? Would you like to say anything, Swamiji?
Yeah, the second question troubling me all the time, that most of the people who are trying to become Krishna conscious, they can give up meat eating, gambling, leisure, sex, intoxication, they are ready to chant. But now new philosophy is developing, well, we can control not to see video or television, but you know, we can't force our children, you know. They must see, otherwise they will go out. And by that method, they also see. So, because this actually this is the way, by which we are fooling. Because everything we can give up to, but to give up television, Maharaj, is the most difficult thing in this age.
You answered your own question. If you're attached to seeing it, the mind will figure out some way to see it. So the point of Maharaj's lecture, the first point of it was that if you're going to be a parent, then you have to deliver your child from the cycle of birth and death. It's your responsibility. If you're teaching them in the guise of excuse because they want to watch it, to watch TV, which has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, then it's sinful. It's sinful. You're not doing your duty. So take the responsibility to be a parent seriously and set the best example. Have all your time engaged in activities more pleasurable than watching TV. Chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping the deity, inviting friends, just like it says in the purport.
Yeah.